if you're just kind of getting into it, whatever the case may be, Anthony Davis is still a Pelican, and Lonzo Ball is still a Laker, and we are going to have fun as the Lakers take on the Celtics tonight on national TV with plenty to talk about.
And Anthony Davis, I'm reading right now, he plans to play.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I'm glad he's not going to sit.
At least until the summer.
Okay. Well, next year it's going to be just sit it all out, like Kawhi Leonard did. We'll get the inside scoop with our good friend Rick Kamla from NBA TV. He joins us with his insight on all this. Rick, how are you, sir?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Frank Sheeman, a.k.a. Big Voice Guy. What's happening, man?
I'm excited, but I'm let down at the same time, man. Been watching this 3 o'clock deadline come and go. Some deals did take place that are interesting that we'll get to. But at the end of the day, Anthony Davis is still a Pelican, and Magic Johnson still is now 0-for-3 on luring big-time names to Los Angeles other than LeBron.
Yeah, and look, we talk all the time about how the Knicks are such a dysfunctional organization, you know, from ownership to front office to coaching to players and all that. It's just always funky. It's always something. Same thing could be said about the L.A. Lakers, man. You've got finger pointing between, you know, Jeannie Buss and the powers that be. You know, you wanted Lonzo Ball. No, I didn't. You wanted Lonzo Ball. It's your fault we took him over to De'Aaron Fox and all that stuff. But really what this came down to, if the second offer that was reported from L.A. to the Pelicans for Anthony Davis was legit, and it came from very, very good sources, so I think it was. And for those that haven't been keeping up with it, it was Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Rajon Rondo, Lance Stephenson. I think one more player that's name is escaping me, two future first-round picks, and they agreed to take on the terrible contract that they signed Solomon Hill to. They checked every box with that reported offer. Mm-hmm. Can they do better this summer for Boston or somebody else? Maybe, perhaps. But that's a pretty good deal, man. You know, you get 2 second overall picks. You get Kyle Kuzma, who in actuality is a top 10 pick or a top 5 pick based on who he is now as an NBA player. You get, you know, cap flexibility, you get future picks. So I thought that was a legitimate offer, if true, by the Lakers. So then you say, well, then why wouldn't the Pelicans do it? Because they're petty. Because they feel like they're being bullied by Magic and or Rich Paul and or LeBron James and or the Laker brand. And they're like, you guys want Anthony Davis and you want him now? We're not ready to do it now. And so in my opinion, this is not a tell, this is my speculation. Mm-hmm. They've let their inner petty, the Pelicans, kind of get in the way. Because they're salty that they're not going to be able to move forward long-term with Anthony Davis. And they're caught up in their feelings a little bit here. I think they should have taken that trade with the Lakers, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Rick. They still may be able to do it. Why? I don't think they're being petty at all. I think they're being smart. Why should Dell Demps not wait until at least see what the Celtics are going to do? And I still believe Anthony Davis would sign there long-term if he knew Kyrie Irving would stay. If that's not going to happen, I don't see why Danny Ainge makes that deal. If Kyrie's going to the Knicks and taking KD with him, fine. I don't think Danny Ainge makes that deal for Anthony Davis and trades away Tatum and Brown and other draft choices, which is a hell of a lot more and better players than the Lakers are offering. So if they don't want to do that, the Laker deal probably still going to be on the table July 1st, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, but you know, things could change, man. There could be an injury here, it could be an injury there. A team could have more success, you know, and maybe plans change. I mean, I think that's what the Pelicans are thinking. Like, why, you know, kind of like Bryce Harper with the Nationals. You know, why am I going to take your offer that's been on the table for months? I'm going to shop my wares to all these other Major League Baseball teams to try to improve it. So from that line of thinking, and look, I'm not saying that the Pelicans aren't dealing with the Lakers 100% on a petty tip. I think the petty is a big part of it, but I think also there's the sensibility part of it that, hey, let's wait. Let's get to the summer, and let's weigh all of our options as opposed to just negotiating with one team. But the other thing is, like, Danny Ainge is a gangster, okay? And I mean that in the nicest, yeah, most affectionate possible, yeah, way. He is. Yeah. He is trying to get the most that you can give with him giving up the least that he can give. So I don't think that the leverage that the Pelicans had over the Lakers in advance of this deadline is more leverage than they will have with any team now going forward, because teams, they might want to do with Davis, they might not want to do it, but the Lakers were hell-bent to get this deal done. And I do feel like the Pelicans felt like they were getting bullied a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you guys know we're all, you know, none of us are punks here. When we feel like we're getting bullied, what do? We push back and fight back. And I feel like that's what the Pelicans did a little bit. And so, like the Boston package, what is it going to be? I mean, is Jason Tatum better than Kuzma, Ingram, and Ball? Yep. Is Jaylen Brown better than Kuzma, Ingram, and Ball? I don't know. I don't know about that. I think Kyle Kuzma's right there on an even plane with Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, but in fact, in the draft picks, though, too, and they could have four number ones this year. That's huge.
No, Boston's set up, man, and that I go back to Danny Ainge. And, you know, I just had a weird thought driving home. You know, I'm listening to the radio and all these, like, trade discussions and stuff, and I'm like, if I were an owner and I could have one guy running my team, one guy calling the shots for my team, who would it be? And, you know, Popovich crossed my brain. I'm like, it's Danny Ainge, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the trade he made with Brooklyn to set that team up, it was like the damn Vikings-Cowboys trade with Herschel Walker back in the day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Talking with Rick Kiemla from NBA TV. I want to go back to the finger-pointing with the Lakers that you mentioned just a moment ago, because Magic Johnson, when he took over, said loud and clear, if I don't get two primo athletes in here in my first 2 years, I will step down and resign. Okay, he got LeBron. Let's give him credit for that. But he whiffed on Kawhi, whiffed on Paul George, maybe going to whiff on Anthony Davis through the summer. Do you think if the summer comes and goes and he's still holding the bag, do you think he steps down? Or do we kind of start looking at LeBron and whether free agents want to come and play with him or not?
Craig, great question, and I love that you brought that back. Well, I mean, it seems like the Lakers may be at a loggerhead here, because doesn't it kind of feel like they're trying to sabotage Luke Walton a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we know that LeBron James has affected the job insecurity of previous head coaches. I want to say it in as mild of language mm-hmm. as possible.
Yeah, it's a fact.
And I don't really feel the love between LeBron and Luke Walton. I mean, hell, like 2 or 3 weeks into the season, you know, there was the chatter about Luke Walton's job being on the line. And heck, that goes back to the summer. As soon as LeBron made the decision, it was like, okay, the clock is ticking on Luke Walton here.
Yep, yep.
I like Luke Walton a lot. I think he's a quality coach, and I think he's going to be a head coach in this league for a long time. Jeannie Buss, the owner and sort of operator right now of the Lakers, has basically said, you know, Luke Walton's our guy, and I'm hanging in there with him. So this may come down to you know, sort of the Magic in LeBron camp saying, you know, we want a new coach. And I don't know that Magic Johnson necessarily thinks this. I'm just kind of playing this out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe Magic and LeBron are on the, hey, let's get a new coach in your side, whereas Jeannie Buss and some of the other powers that be maybe are on the, nah, let's keep Luke Walton side. Well, that may cause Magic Johnson, and coupled with Craig, like you were saying, maybe they keep swinging and missing on getting these big-time guys, and maybe Magic Johnson says, yeah, you know, I'm good. We gave it a shot. It didn't work out. And maybe he just walks away. So I think that the drama and the soap opera is only going to continue to spiral here in L.A.
Well, speaking of the soap opera, as the ball or balls turn, LeVar Ball again. And I hate to give the guy any pub at all, but I think he's past a certain point of craziness. And I know people think there's a method to his madness, that wherever Lonzo Ball eventually gets traded to, and I think he will, that the LeVar baggage that goes along with it may dissuade some owners, but I'm not in that camp yet. However, earlier this week, you heard, I'm going to speak it into existence. That was his quote about him going to the Phoenix Suns, meaning his son Lonzo Ball. And then this morning, you know, with Shannon Sharp and Bayless, just taking it to a whole level of stupidness, if there is such a word. It's just stupid. It's ignorant, arrogant, stupid. It makes no sense at all. And forget the fact that Lonzo Ball is now better than LeBron James. Everything else he said is, and thank God Shannon Sharp challenged him, but tell me how Lonzo Ball walks into the, even though he's got an ankle injury, how does he walk into the locker room at all now, especially tonight, in a hostile environment in Boston? What does he do? I mean, how do you handle this?
Well, I mean, he's this has been his dad his whole life, so
yeah. But
he's used to having a loud mouth, you know, and you know, the whole thing, stay in your lane. Like, that's one of the you know, phrases on one of his T-shirts that's way overpriced. I mean, and obviously he didn't coin the phrase "stay in your lane," man. I mean, I'm sorry, man. That's been around for a while. But Lonzo Ball's father, LeVar, in fact, does not stay in his lane. So it's the exact opposite of what the T-shirt says. And so that's probably been the case Lonzo's entire life. So I'm sure it's a lot of, you know, shoulder shrugging and eye rolling, like, there goes dad again, dad being dad, you know. Mm-hmm. So it is what it is. But I do think that there are some teams that are turned off by that, many, many teams. And I don't know this, again, it's not intel, it's just observing and speculation from being in this for a minute. But I do think that totally turns off some teams. I do believe that there are some teams that say, I won't do business with the Ball family.
Yeah. Do you think Demps is one of those GMs, though? Do you think this says maybe if LeVar Ball said nothing the last couple of weeks, I don't know, maybe would this deal could have gotten done if he didn't open his mouth?
I mean, I think that's a fair question, but no, I don't think that this is just so much bigger than LeVar Ball and his huge mouth. You know what I mean? This is like, and it's not only the future of the Pelicans and the Lakers, it's the future of the NBA. Yeah. Like, wherever Anthony Davis goes, and whatever superstar or superstars he aligns with, could be the next championship team or dynasty team. So, I don't think, as loud of a voice as he is and as visible as he is, I don't think what he had to say about wanting Lonzo to play in Phoenix had anything to do with this deal not getting done.
Rick Kambla from NBA TV. In our final minute here, I don't want to leave you without getting your comment on both Markelle Fultz, the former number one pick of the 76ers, being traded to Orlando, and Marc Gasol going to Toronto, and how that affects the East.
Well, I absolutely love the upgrade from Jonas Valanciunas to Marc Gasol in Toronto. They're all chips in the middle of the table this year. Obviously, Kawhi can leave in the offseason. It's ring or bust in Toronto right now. And what they and earlier than that, and you guys saw this, the Bucks shrewdly stole Nikola Mirotic from the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. So that was like, oh, the Bucks got one up on the Raptors. No, they didn't. The Raptors got Gasol, and now they're staring each other eye to eye. So I love both moves for both teams. Orlando is so bloodthirsty for a point guard that they actually shipped a number one pick to Philadelphia for Markelle Fultz. I would not have done that, but that just goes to show you the desperation that they have at the point guard position down there in Orlando. I would bet against it working out, though. I think Markelle Fultz is a head case.
Mm. Rick, final question for me. Just yes or no. Don't have to give me a percentage. Yes, that Kyrie Irving and KD are wearing Nick uniforms next year. Your gut feeling, yes or no?
I'm going to say no. It just feels like that feels like a media creation. It feels like a Twitter creation. And who knows? It may happen, man. Anything could happen in this crazy NBA. But I think it's more hope from Knicks fans and hope from media members than actual reality.
All right.
That's fantastic, Rick. Thank you so much. Love you coming on.
Appreciate it, man.
Hey, guys, anytime. Call soon.
All right. Thank you. That is Rick Kambla from NBA TV. I think we covered the gamut pretty well.
He is so good.